Just before our Lord ascended into heaven, he gave what we call the Great Commission. When he told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. However, when we look at the Lord's church, we see that very few are making an effort to evangelize. Friends, are you concerned about those who are lost in your community? Are you concerned about those who are lost in the world? How long has it been since you've even prayed for a lost person? Let me tell you what you need to do and what I need to do. Think of those that you love. It can be family members. It can be your neighbors. It can be those with whom you work. And take some of those precious names of those individuals and put them in your prayer life. Pray for them. That they'll see the truth, love the truth, obey the truth. Now let me ask you, how long can you pray for them that will be the case without you trying to make an effort to persuade them to do that which is right? You need to realize, I need to realize, we're in the persuading business. We're trying to persuade people, give up the world, give up sin, love Jesus Christ with all of your heart. You know, the Apostle Paul was in the persuading business. In preaching to King Agrippa, King Agrippa said this in Acts 26:28. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I want you to know that Paul was trying to persuade him, to come out of the sin that he was in, to become a Christian. Paul was trying to persuade him to be a Christian, not a member of some denominational church. Paul was working hard on him. Now, of all those that you and I will undertake to persuade to come out of error, obey truth, many of them will choose to say no. As far as we know, King Agrippa continued to say no. Nevertheless, we are in the persuading business. Let me read you a verse. And by the way, take your Bibles now, if you will, please. And open them to 2 Corinthians 5. We're going to camp out right there and look at some great verses within that chapter. But I want you to look at verse 11, of 2 Corinthians 5. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Do you believe that, folks? Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We must realize, friends, there's a great side to God, a good side, a loving side. But there is also a severe side. The Bible says, behold the goodness and the severity of the Lord. Romans 11, verse number 22. Do not buy into this false concept that many are trying to pawn off on you and me, that God is so good, so loving, and so kind, that he'll not allow anyone to go to hell. Paul didn't believe that. Paul said, we know the terror of the Lord. And because we know the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Now for the next few moments, what we hope to do is take 2 Corinthians 5 and show you why we ought to be in the persuading business. Look at verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be, that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle, and he's talking about the body, do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Paul, what are you saying? Paul says, in this old body, we groan. This body is wearing out. This body is going downhill, and the day is coming when I'll have to lay this old tabernacle aside. Or as the Bible puts it, it is appointed unto man once to die. Why should we be in the persuading business? Because men are dying. How many people have you known in your life that are no longer here? They have stepped off into eternity. But now the question is, were they ready to go? You see, there was a time, friends, when I could see and read without these glasses. There was a time when I had hair. There was a time when I didn't have as many wrinkles as I have right now. God is trying to tell me something. Every time I look in a mirror, I see that this body is getting older. It has begun to decay and run downhill to the point that one day this old tabernacle will be laid aside. Well, just as I'm growing older, just as you are growing older, the neighbor next to you who does not know the truth, he or she is growing older. And they're going to lay aside that old body, and they're going to step into eternity. We need to be in the persuading business because the people round about us are dying. Do you not care? Do I not care that people are dying without Jesus Christ? It broke the apostles, Paul's heart to know that people out there had not heard the truth. He wanted to preach the truth where other people had not gone. He wanted everybody to be afforded the opportunity to hear the truth. We have tremendous talent within the body of Christ. But what's sad, it's not being used to the extent that it ought to be used. The Lord says if we bury our talent, we'll be lost. Are you using your talent to try to reach those who are lost? The Lord said, lift up your eyes and look. The fields are white unto harvest. I've had people say, well, Wesley, where in the world would I find good prospects to teach? Friends are all around you. Do you know anybody lost? That's a good prospect. Talk to them about the gospel of Christ. Now, verse 5 says this. Now, we that have wrought, for he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. In the first century, the miraculous element of the Holy Spirit was given to Paul and to others to demonstrate that Christianity indeed was from God. What are you saying, Wesley? We need to be in the persuading business because this book has been confirmed by God. We know that the Bible is inspired. We know there's a God in heaven. We know there's not but one church. We know the plan of salvation. We know the way God wants us to worship. And God says, look, I've confirmed the message. Hebrews 2, 1 through 4. You proclaim it. Are we proclaiming it? Are we excited about the fact that we can go into someone's home and we can open up our Bibles and say, here is what the Word of God says? Denominational people can't take the Bible and establish their case. People with man-made religions cannot take the Bible and establish their case. But you and I can take the Bible and show that what Jesus taught is right. When we call people back to the Bible, to be only that which the Bible says one ought to be, simply a Christian, a member of the church about which you can read in your Bible. Think about the excitement of being a faithful child of God and being able to share that message with other people. The Bible says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, you and I can do that, but what good is evidence if you and I are not going to take it and show it to other people? This is why we ought to be in the persuading business. Notice verse 6. Therefore, we're always confident, knowing that whilst we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Why are we in the persuading business? Because, friends, we walk by faith and not by sight. That does not mean a leap in the dark, but that which is built upon evidence. And not only that, the Bible says that one day we're going to lay aside this body so that we can be present with the Lord. That is the last statement in verse number 8. We persuade people because we want them one day to be present with the Lord, not present with the devil and all of his angels in hell. Well, then we got to love them enough to go out there and say, look, God loves you. He gave his son for you. And here is what he wants you to do, to be his servant and to be pleasing to him. And we take the Bible and we show them. Do you want to be present with the Lord? Does that really mean anything to you? It means something to me. Well, friends, if I want to be present with the Lord, I want my wife to be present with the Lord. I want my children to be present with the Lord. I want my mother and father to be present with the Lord. I want my next door neighbor to be present with the Lord. Do you really want them to be present with the Lord, Wesley? Oh, yes. Are you trying to teach them? See, that's the issue. Don't just say you want your loved ones to be present with the Lord when time shall be no more. What are you doing trying to teach them? What am I doing to try to persuade them to come out of the world and do that which God Almighty would have them do? Now look at verse 9. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Why do we persuade the Lord? We want to be accepted of him. That's why we persuade people. That's why we tell people, look, here's what the Lord wants you to do. This is why we persuade men relative to what the Lord has said. Do you want to be accepted of the Lord? Yes. Do I want to be accepted of the Lord? Yes. Do you want your family members to be accepted of the Lord? Yes. Do you believe they can be accepted of the Lord in denominational era? No. Do you believe they can be accepted of the Lord living out in the world? No. Then are you trying to do something to persuade them to come out of that era? See, we've got to do that. This is why we persuade men. Look at verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Friends, we persuade men because we know there is a judgment day coming. Ecclesiastes 12:13-14 says that we will even have to give an account for those secret things we have done that we think that we have covered up, but God knows them. Now, if you really believe there's going to be a judgment, I believe that. The Bible teaches that. And if you really believe that mankind is going to have to answer for the deeds that he has done in his body, do you believe it strongly enough that you're going to try to persuade your neighbor to be ready for the judgment? We sing a song, Are You Ready? We sing a song, There's a Great Day Coming, when we'll be standing before the judge of this great universe, and we're going to have to give an account for the way that we have lived. You might see that neighbor over there that's doing that which is out of harmony with the Father's will. And you know that though very sincere, he's wrapped up in religious error. Go persuade him. The Apostle Paul went to synagogues to persuade people to come out of religious error. The Apostle Paul went down by the riverside where prayer was wont to be made to persuade people. Jesus Christ went into synagogues to persuade people. He went into the house and houses of sinners to persuade people. You and I, we are in the persuading business. How in the world can we say that we love God and we love souls if we're not going to try to convince people to come out of the era they're in, to come out of the world? See, it's our job to continue the work Jesus did. When Jesus came to this earth, the Bible says he came to seek and to save that which is lost. The church is simply an extension of his work. Our job is to seek and to save that which is lost. We do this by persuading people to do what the Lord would have them do. Simply obey the teachings of the Bible. Now we come to verse 11 that we read a moment ago. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Do you really believe that angels who were disobedient to the Lord will be in all eternity in a devil's hell? I believe that. The Bible teaches that clearly. Do you believe that those who are disobedient will be lost? 2 Thessalonians 1:6-9 says that. Well, then what are you doing to persuade people to try to convince them they need to obey the Lord to miss the devil's hell that's prepared for those who, in essence, have walked contrary to the will of God? See, all we do when we try to persuade people is tell them you need to walk in harmony with the will of God. Serve God. Love God with all of your heart. Verse number 12 says this, "For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that we may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart." Did you get it? We're trying to persuade people so that they will quit having glory in appearance, but rather will glory in the heart. We have those that are so proud of the homes they own, so proud of the automobiles they've got. They're so proud of the money they got in the bank. They glory in appearance. Look at what I've got and how successful I am. Do you remember the rich fool in Luke 12? He had to tear down his barns and build greater barns to hold his crop. Oh, he said, "I got it made. I can eat, drink, and take mine ease." He gloried in the appearance of what he had, not in the heart. God said, "Thou fool, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee." You and I are in the business of persuading people don't glory in appearance. Do you know that $1 trillion and a gravel off the parking lot out here will be worth the same amount come judgment day? Think of all the famous people who have lived. You think God is impressed with men like Elvis Presley, John Kennedy, Babe Ruth, Mickey Mantle, if they did not change their heart? Oh, but look at the appearance of who they are. Look at the power and the prestige. No, did they change their heart? You and I are trying to persuade people, do not glory in appearance, but rather in the heart. That my heart, my inner man, my inner being has been changed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, if my heart being changed means something to me, then it ought to mean something to my next door neighbor. It ought to mean something to my children. It ought to mean something to my mother and father. It ought to mean something to those to whom I come in contact with each and every day. Now, if that's right, am I sharing it? Am I sharing the gospel of Christ so they can be persuaded to change their heart? In verse 13, "For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. Or whether we be sober, it is for your cause." Wait a minute, Paul. If you go out there and you try to teach people, they'll think you're beside yourself. They'll think you're some kind of nut. Yeah, but he says, it's for their cause. You know, when I go up and knock on somebody's door, and I try to talk to them about the Bible, and they show absolutely no interest at all. They don't know it, but I was there for their cause. They don't know it, but I was trying to introduce them to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They don't know it, but I was trying to tell them how they could be happy in all eternity. And when you walk away from there, and I've often prayed as I've walked away from a door, "Father, help them to open their eyes. They didn't reject me. They rejected you." And how true that is. And you and I must have that mindset, and that's what Paul is saying right here. Now look at verse number 14. "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead." Did you get it? We persuade men because they're all dead spiritually. Paul says we make a judgment here. If it's true that Jesus Christ died for all, then we're going to have to conclude that all are dead. Paul in the book of Romans makes the argument, and rightly so, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God," Romans 3:23. He states in that chapter, "There is none righteous, no, not one." Well, if that be the truth, and it is the truth, then that individual who's responsible for his actions, who lives next to you or with whom you work, is an individual who is dead in their trespasses and sins if they're not a child of God. Well, then you and I need to persuade them and let them know there is a standard, and that standard is the Word of God. And if they have violated that standard, then they're under a God-given obligation to be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ and have those sins remitted in the blood of the Lamb. That's why you and I are in the persuading business, because people are dead spiritually. You know why I obeyed the gospel of Christ? I realized I was dead spiritually. I realized I was lost. You know why you obeyed the gospel of Christ? You realized you were dead spiritually. You realized you were lost. Well, if that's true, what about your loved ones that are in the same condition you were in prior to your obeying the gospel of Christ? See, we need to be in the persuading business. Verse 15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Why are we in the persuading business? We're trying to tell people they need to quit living for themselves, but they need to live for him who died and rose, Jesus Christ. You see people out here, they get off from work, and they go to the beer joint, and they get them a beer, or maybe a six-pack, and they go home, and they flop down on the couch, and they turn the TV on, and they prop their feet up, and they sit there and drink those beers, and they watch television. They use foul language. They do anything they want to do that's ungodly. You know what they're doing? They're living for themselves. But Paul says we're in the persuading business to teach people they don't need to live for themselves. They need to live for him who loved them, died for them, and rose that they might live spiritually. Verse 16, wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. We need to persuade men so that they will not recognize anybody after the flesh as the final authority in religious matters. Paul says we don't know anybody after the flesh. Now, we once knew one after the flesh that we listened to, and we was convinced he was the final standard. And that was Jesus Christ. Look at all the people, friends, that are being misled by preachers, misled by the Pope, misled by creed books written by men in the flesh, and they're headed down the wrong road. You and I are in the persuading business to tell them to give that up and turn to him who has all authority, namely, Jesus Christ. The Bible says, all authority hath been given unto me. Matthew 28:18. Christ has all authority. The Bible says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. 1 Peter 4:11. The Bible says, whatever we do in word or deed, we're to do all in the name of Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:17. Can you not see that we cannot recognize anybody as the final standard in the flesh? But lo and behold, Christ is our final standard. And we got to show people in love and kindness. You got someone who loves you and who has given you the greatest words by which to live that have ever been spoken. And we want you to give allegiance to the Christ. Why do we persuade men? Look at verse 17. Oh, I love this verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We're in the persuading business because we want to see people become new creatures. We want to see those old things passed away. If they're fornicating against their mate, we want to see that stop because of the power of God's Word. If they're out there lying, stealing, killing, getting drunk, whatever it is, we want to see those old things pass away so that they can become a new creature and thus truly enjoy life to its fullest. Jesus Christ said, I came to give you life and that more abundantly. Do you believe the Christian life is the most abundant life that one can live? Indeed, friends, it is. If you believe that, you need to be in the persuading business so that you can help your friends, your neighbors, your loved ones become that new creature. What do you mean, new creature, Wesley? Born again. Jesus Christ said that fleshly birth of the Jews wouldn't get the job done. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. When a man is born again, he becomes a new creature. I know a man, one time, he beat his wife. He was mean to his wife. He'd come in sloppy drunk, mean to the children. Finally, the wife had enough of that, and she left him and went home to be with mom and dad. Well, this man learned the truth and found out that he shouldn't have been treating his wife that way, his children that way. He needed to quit drinking. He repented of those things, obeyed the gospel of Christ. He became a new creature. He went and he knocked on that door, and the father came to the door and said, "I've come to get my wife." And the father says, "You're not going to take her home with you. You beat her. You mistreated the children. You're a drunkard." And the guy says, "No, no, not me. You must have somebody else in mind." He said, "Don't give me that. I've seen the bruises on her body." He said, "That's the way I used to be. That's the old man. I've been born again, a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Well, that's Christianity. That's the way we're to be. We're to change. And we're in the persuading business so people can become a new creature in Christ Jesus and give up those old habits that would destroy him here and also in eternity. Are you a new creature? Does it mean anything to you to be born again? If it does, are you sharing that? Are you trying to persuade others that they too can be born again and enjoy all these wonderful blessings located in Christ Jesus? Look at verse number 18. "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ." Why do we need to be in the persuading business? Because when you and I, as responsible beings, sin, we are separated from God. The Bible says we need to be reconciled to God. We need to make up with God because we've offended God. And the Bible says we do that through Jesus Christ. Now, when I obeyed the gospel of Christ, I became reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, through his shed blood. Does that mean anything to me? If it means anything to me, friends, I ought to be willing to share that with my fellow man. Jesus Christ realized that you had offended God. He realized I have offended God. And because we are offenders, then we need to be reconciled to God. The atonement, the at-one-ment with God needs to take place. And it can only take place through Jesus Christ. And so when we obey what the Lord says, then we're pleasing to God. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Can you not see, friends, from this chapter, the importance of trying to persuade your fellow man so that he won't go to a devil's hell? I trust the lesson has encouraged you and motivated you to become more energetic, more zealous in personal evangelism. But let me tell you, if you should be listening to the tape and you're not a child of God, you need to be that new creature by believing in Jesus, repenting of your sins, confessing the Christ before men, be buried with your Lord in baptism for the remission of sins. The Lord then will add you to his family, his kingdom, his church. Be faithful to him. When the roll is called up yonder, you'll be there. Then be zealous. Go out and proclaim that glad message. Persuade men that they too one day might go to heaven. May God richly bless you in this effort as you continue to study the greatest of all books, the inspired, inerrant, perfect will of God.